Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good morning, good morning. Praise the Lord's sake. I apologize for my tardiness as my computer and things wanted to do what they want to do, but praise the Lord. We have the kind of technology that will allow us to have our Friday Fellowship of Learners as we gather today, National Day of Prayer. I think we should start with prayer. So, one of our elders lead us in prayer this morning. Praise the Lord. Good morning. Can you guys hear me? Let's see here. Am I not? Oh, good morning. So can you guys hear me?
I can hear you. This is Elder Deborah. I stepped away from the phone, so the music was on when I walked out of the room, but I can hear you clearly, yes.
Oh, wonderful. So can you lead us in prayer this morning?
Yes. Let us pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we still ourselves in your presence, O God. As we come today, Lord, we ask that you would open our hearts and our minds, that we would leave at the end of this call challenged to growth and development that would glorify you, O God. Help us to see ourselves clearly. Help us to incorporate these principles in the green letters in our lives, that people would see the love of Christ in our thoughts, in our behaviors, in our deeds. Lord, we love you. We thank you, O God. We thank you for the finished work. We thank you for your grace and your mercy in our lives. Lord, we thank you and we consider it so. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. We don't often start with prayer, but because it is the National Day of Prayer, I felt it was appropriate and in order for us to do so. So now we will go to our promises. We're looking in the book of Judges, and anybody have theirs this morning?
Yes. Hold on one moment. Okay. Yes, I will. Is it in Corinthians, correct?
Okay.
Okay. No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape, that you may be able to hear it. And that's 1 Corinthians 10:15.
Amen. Amen. Anybody else? You can take your phones off mute. Amen. All right. Well, just one of mine from Judges. Is from Judges 2:1. Excuse me. And it says, I will never break my covenant with you. And that's just, for me, such a comforting promise of love, because marriage is a covenant. It's birthed out of love, and God, out of his love, has provided us with a covenant that he has promised to never break. And then out of Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 10 and 28, for the whole earth is the Lord's and everything that is in it. And just a reminder of there's no place that he doesn't rule, reign, and control everything. And there's nothing outside of all nor everything that can or could exclude him. And so we are given that comfort, that faith back of comfort to trust him and to take him at his word. I so often, in looking at these promises, see the words to songs that the old saints used to sing out of, actually we did it out of the Baptist hymnal, but they were rooted out of scripture, a lot of them. And so in just looking at these promises, you can understand why they were the songs on the lips of our foreparents who were oppressed. I don't know where the static is coming from, but we've had all sorts of issues with Blog Talk. Can you hear me clearly? Those on the line?
No, static. Yes. I don't hear any static on this side, but it may be happening, you know, geographically or something, but I hear you clear, no static.
Okay. So I'm adjusting now is to see if maybe it's someone else's phone. Nope. So, Mr. Pat, I have you on mute, but I'm going to put you back on speaker. Okay. And so as they were very much oppressed in the early life of America, I'll put it that way, you can see why these were the words and the songs that came out of their hearts and were on their lips. And I could remember, you know, my grandparents and my parents just walking around the house doing their daily chores and singing these songs of promise and hope. And so that's one of the things that ministry of one another, it says, you know, to greet one another in psalms and songs and hymns. And I think sometimes maybe we've gotten away from that. And it is a very powerful stay strength that we have the power to do. There's a, and I hope I can find it quickly, but there is a psalm that we want to really, well, we're going to present tomorrow, actually. In Psalms, I believe it's, Psalms, is it 97? No, Psalms 40 and 3. It says, he has put a new song in my mouth, praise to our God. Many will see it and fear and will trust in the Lord. And so in that song, just the idea of speaking or singing the promises in the word of God, which is new, a new exercise, I would say, because he's put it in our hearts as we have gone through as we go through the perfecting and maturing in our life, and he puts that in our hearts and in our mouth so that our mouth is not speaking despair or things that aren't uplifting or complaining or grumbling or or persistent complaining. And so rather than do that, singing the song that he has put in our mouths because of what he has imparted in our heart. And so just a little sidebar on our promises. Anybody else with their wants to share the promises that they've gleaned? Okay.
One from
yeah.
One First Corinthians 3 and and shall receive his own reward according to his own labor.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. And you know what? That's another scripture that's going to be presented tomorrow. And so these are things that God is putting in our hearts. And so we're speaking a new thing, that not that it's new because it's been in the Word, but it's actually new in our relationship with God, that we are getting this understanding. We're getting this continuance of growth and development. Anybody else with a scripture? Okay. A scripture prayer, a promise. All right. Okay. And actually, Elder, I think just said it. Yep. It's coming from your phone. But if you don't hear it, then that's fine. And if no one else hears it, that's fine. All right. So let's look at step 18, the final issue in the green letters. Not the complete green letters, but in the first set of green letters. It was almost to the point where it's like, should we read it? Should we just read the chapter? But we've come through so much that God has shown us as it relates to developing spiritually, growing our spiritual life, our spirit man, and all that he has done. And he starts off by saying, in the beginning, we have this exhausted, extensive joy and zeal, and we're just going forth like a freight train. And yet we will barely realize how much we don't know, how much we will have to learn and experience through the hand and the shaping of God that will bring us to a place of maturity. And unfortunately, I love this second paragraph. It says, many of these developed areas are just plain deserts. Well, I'll read above. It says, as our Lord takes us along through the years, it slowly dawns on us that there are vast, almost infinite areas of development through which he must still lead us. There's so much we have to learn. I think that one of the scriptures in Psalms that impacted me was when it said, I was in the house of the Lord, and yet I realized I was ignorant. I was a beast before the Lord. Yet I had been there 30 years. There was so much, infinite areas of development and understanding that we just don't have until we are mature in the Word and in our walk with God. This is, many of these developed areas are just plain deserts. No spiritual activity, no service, little or no fellowship with him or others. What prayer there is has to be forced and is sometimes dropped altogether for months at a time. Bible study finally grinds to a halt. Everything seems to add up to nothing. It is during these necessary times that the believer often feels that God has ceased to carry out his part, and there is little or no use in seeking to continue. And yet there is a hunger deep within the saint to continue on. And that's where that promise, he promised to never break his covenant, no matter what it seems like. But it was so descriptive when the author says there's no spiritual activity, there's no service, little or no fellowship with him. You know, your prayers are forced, and sometimes you just don't pray. Bible study doesn't happen anymore, and it just seems like, what's the use? What's the purpose? You know, why, you know, why are we doing this? Is God there? Is he hearing? Does he care? Have I not been where I should have been, so now I'm not where I need to be? And so we have all these questions and all these frustrations, and yet the author is letting us know to be content and understand that this is part of the process. This is where God eliminates us from us. This is where the flesh falls off. This is where we throw our hands up and we say, okay, you know, it's nothing I can do. And the minute we say that, okay, that's when God can take the reins. That's when we're ready to give him the reins and go forth, excuse me, understanding that it is not a feeling. It is not, excuse me, a frame of mind, but it is a heart condition. It is a belief, just believing what the word says and then resting in that belief. And as we rest in that belief, and that's what the author shares, in that rest, activity just normally will flow from that. But sometimes we try too hard. Sometimes we are trying to emulate something we've seen or it said it should be, and we're trying to make it that way. When he's saying, no, look at me. Don't look around. Walk by faith. Walk by. And when we say walk by faith, walk by your moment by moment connection with me. So don't make assumptions. Don't get models plan. Don't get comfortable, you know, in what it said in that book. Even in this book, don't get comfortable in it, because there are still vast areas that God is going to lead us through. And in doing so, it will bring us into the promises that God has. And it will bring us there because we're no longer looking and leaning on our own understanding, but we're understanding those things that matter to him. We're getting a God's eye view. We're understanding the value system in the kingdom. We're understanding the time element and what it looks like and what it means. And it's nothing like what we are used to, because it is God's timing, and it is a place where trust is built, because the longer you labor leaning on him, the more actually comfortable you will come, more relaxed you will get. If you ever you're in need of comforting, and someone reaches out to embrace you, and at first the embrace is a stiff, it's a wanted, but it's not, it's still, you're still rigid, if you will. And the longer and the more deeply you're embraced, the more you start to relax, the more you start to let go of your own strength and depend on the strength of the one that is embracing you. And that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to relax. I have you. I have you in my arms. You're under my wing, and I am hiding you there in these seasons of desert time. I want to read to you one of the daily messages. It's entitled "Resting in Him." Though you sit in darkness, I will be your light. Sometimes you need to rest in the shadows. If you continue pushing yourself, ignoring how weary you are, you may collapse altogether. Many of my followers drive themselves to the point of exhaustion or utter discouragement while pretending everything is all right. Your enemy, the devil, rejoices, even gloats when he sees this happening, because he understands the power of pretense to weaken my children till they are easy prey for him. Do not panic when you have fallen, for you will rise again. Be content to sit in darkness while I refresh your spirit, mind, and body. I am fully present with you when you are sitting as when you are standing or walking. Look for me in the shadowy places where you find yourself now. I want to shelter and mature you under my wing, where you will find refuge. While you are relaxing, I will be, turn the page here, on the phone, I will be your light, protecting, healing, and restoring you. When my work of restoration is finished, you can crawl out from under my wing, ready to rise again and continue your journey. My presence will go with you, illuminating the way before you, strengthening and encouraging you. Hope in me, my child, for you will again praise me for the help of my presence. And the scripture's focuses of these and foundation is Micah 7 and 8. Do not gloat over me, my enemies. Though I have fallen, I will rise. Though I sit in darkness, the Lord will be my light. What a declaration to make when we're in these desert places. What a word and a song that puts in our heart and our mind, if this is what we say and not complain or be despaired. Then from 1 Peter 5 and 8, be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. And we know that. And when we understand that truth, then we see the answer for that. Be self-controlled and alert. Then from Psalms 91 and 4, he will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and your rampart. And then finally in Psalms 42 and 5, why are you despaired, O my soul? And why have you become disturbed within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him for the help of his presence. And pretty much this speaks to this chapter. This is what the author is sharing with us, continue. He shares the fact that the foundation of God is sure, having its seal, it's been sealed. The Lord knoweth them that are his. And these are our passages that we need to pull out from time to time and declare when we're in this desert, when we feel like there's no spiritual activity, and we know that God is always at work around us, but it's not necessarily his will that it manifests in our eyesight, because he wants us to stop using our eyesight and walk by faith, by trusting in his word. And sometimes you have to cover, you know, the eyes in order to realize I really am not walking by faith. I was walking by my sight, because when these things happen and then these seasons come, you know, where they feel a little of no fellowship for whatever reason, whether it's sickness or actually service to God, sometimes seem to cut us off from fellowship with what we believe to be our strength and our purpose, and yet it is purposefully working within us this more intimate relationship. One of the definitions of cultivate, which is exciting to me, is it says it's intimately preparing. And so when we see that God is cultivating our hearts, he is intimately preparing us for something new and so different that any particles, any foreign object, any foreign anything would pollute and distort what he is planting in us. And so he cultivates us. He cultivates the ground of our heart to receive his truth. He knows how powerful and true his word is. And when it's his season to plant something in us, to get a revelation from the word that we've read over and over and over, and we're very familiar with it on a surface level, then he pulls back a layer of our understanding and then places the revelation of the Holy Spirit within us. And then we get a God's eye view. We get a whole different perspective. We see things from the way the Lord has placed them and the purpose he's placed for them. And it's the power he's placed in them, because as we observe these steps of spiritual maturity, we get to a place where now we can handle that revelation. Anything that says if you get it too soon, you know, it's like giving a gun to a baby, and we're not prepared for it. We may look up in doing it right a time or two, but in the end, it would bring destruction because we don't know properly how to handle it or how to encase it in the spirit and not to yield it in the flesh. And so the flesh has to fall off. And the way the Lord does that, we have to find a peace and a confidence in whatever he's doing. I think there was a class during the retreat, and the name of the class was Help, I Think the Lord Is Trying to Heal Me, or something like that. And people felt that way, literally. And yet, just like with Job, he was killing the flesh that had gotten to, he had gotten to the season in Job's life where he wanted more from Job. He wanted to be more intimately known by Job. He presented himself to Job. And so he had to get to that place, but in order to get there, there were things that had to be removed that he had a joy in. And yet we can trust God because we know that the end of Job was greater than his beginning. And God has promised that he will do what's best for us, and that all things will work to the good. And so as the author brings out some issues that we have all experienced, he that says, no, we're going to get to a place of stripping. Everybody does. And so it's not because, oh, you sinned, and, you know, that's what Job's friend told him. Ooh, what did you do wrong? And at that point, nothing. However, it will always reveal that there are things in us that are not in harmony with God. I love the comment that the author writes. Sonship is something more than being born again. It represents growth into fullness. It is quite a good thing to be a babe while babyhood lasts, but it is a bad thing to be a baby when that period is past. And so this is one of the things that we often, because we're saved and we're sons, we can't, and daughters of God, we can't and we shouldn't I don't. I say, think that's it. That's all I have to do. I'm good. Or you know, that's the pinnacle of it. I'm a son of good of God. So he says, but while sonship is inherent in birth, in the New Testament sense, sonship is the realization of the possibility of birth. It is growth to maturity. So the New Testament has a lot to say about growing up, leaving childhood, and obtaining full stature. With this growth comes the greater fullness of Christ and the abundant wealth unto which we are saved. It is a matter not so much of that from which we are saved as of that unto which we are saved. So the grand climax of the new creation is revealing of the Son of God. And so it's the fact that we're saved is awesome. That's one side of the cross, but the other side is what we're saved unto. So he's saying now you're being drawn into a new life, and that's where the journey starts. That's where the power lies. That's where the joy is. That's where the peace is. You know, that's where the unspeakable awesomeness of your purpose starts to unfold and bloom and develop. And so we are encouraged in this last step to continue. It says it's almost like we should just read this little chapter. It's only a few. It says, in the beginning, we mainly take up with the external of our Christian life, and the Lord allows this for a time. He understands, and that's the wonderful thing. He understands our frailty. He understands our weakness because he created us. And so he knows, and he is so compassionate and long-suffering and patient with us. He says, there to get us and our externals out of the way so that the Lord Jesus Christ can be our all. Our Father begins to take away much of what we thought we had. Here begins the long cross-centered transition from do to be. All this paradoxical progress, the way up is down, the way to life is death. You know, in Christ and in the kingdom, they are paradoxes that we can't understand with the natural mind. But the Holy Spirit gives us a revelation and a piece of it. Then, other than that, the author says it's a simple weapon of the enemy, easily parted by letting God be God in the scriptural knowledge that he is our Father. And so even though we may question it, and the devil may want to use it to say, well, that doesn't make sense. In order to live, you got to die. In order to increase, you got to decrease. That doesn't make sense. That's leading to our own understanding. That's a weapon that the enemy uses intellectually in our minds to question and to doubt the process that God is taking us through, or the journey that he is leading us through. But he says that he will be our light in darkness. So when we're in these places and it just doesn't make sense, then that is a good thing, because now we don't see it. And in darkness, you have to walk by faith. And so as we cling to him and reach out to him during these times, that's when we find how close he is and how powerful he will impart his nature and the nature of Jesus Christ into us, that will cause us to rest, to be at peace, and to have a joy about the way he handles us. And pretty much that kind of sums up what this last chapter has brought out to us. An encouraging presentation of just continuing and knowing that the hope is beyond what we could ever hope, think, or imagine. That's what's ahead for us. If our hearts are really true to him, we may be assured he will lead us on in the knowledge of himself just as fast as we are able to advance. And so he's not going to do it where we fail. He's going to do it, he says, just as fast as he knows we can advance. So the more hunger we have for him, the more we thirst for him, the more he will pour into us. But when he pours it into us, he's going to give the measure that we're able to handle it in the season and in the stage of growth and development that we are. He knows how much we can take in, and he does not fail to minister to us the very food that is suitable for our present need, our present need. That's that appropriating the resources and our inheritance at a time that we need it to progress according to God's will and not our own. We must sometimes feel inclined to be impatient with ourselves because we do not make rapid progress, or we don't make progress the way someone else does. But we have to learn to trust the Lord without spiritual education. So in other words, you don't know it spiritually. Trust him because he is spirit. If our eyes are upon him and we follow with simple hearts as he leads us, we will find that he will lead us by a right way and bring us through all the exercises we need to form our soul in the appreciation of him and of all those blessed things that are brought to pass in him. And I think that may be one of the things that we learn in the desert, that it's no longer about me. It's not about, you know, the ideas that I have and the preferences that I live by. It's no longer about my vision or my dreams and hopes for the future the way I think it should be. It's no longer those things. You let them go because really you can't make them come to pass anyway. And as we've tried, we've only been frustrated and end up in despair. But what we have found that is that when we look to him, we found a rest and a hope. And he is so eager to show us himself. And so when we get to the end of our string and that thread breaks, he's right there, and we close our eyes and we prepare for this huge crash, and it doesn't happen because we end up gently in his arms because he is always there. And I think that's what the author is trying to encourage us to understand, that in the physical, in the spiritual maturity and steps and foundation that we're getting as we journey with God, it's going to have looks that aren't familiar to us. It's going to have scenes around us. It's like, what is this? And these are scenes that have been presented to us so that we can stand in awe of God with our lips dropped and our eyes popping out because we see the hand of the living God up close and personal, real and intimate. And not only do we see it, we feel his hands on us. Because remember, he's the gardener, and every moment he has us in his hands, and he's examining us. Just like you would examine a branch. You turn it, and you look on the back and the side, and you feel it, and you spray it, you water it, you prune it. You know, it's in your hands, and you're helping it develop, and you're developing it according to what you know its purpose should be. And so that's the way we are in the hands of God. So he's saying, in all of this, trust me. Just trust me. Okay? So what are some of the insights that you got in this last lesson and as it relates to all the lessons in total? Hello, out there.
Could you repeat that last sentence you said?
Hello.
After you said he's the gardener and he has us in his hands, And we have to remember, you said something else, and it just kind of bleaked out on me.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, he's just saying.
Or maybe that was the end of your thought. I'm not sure.
Yeah, trust me. In all he's saying, in all that he's presenting of himself, he's saying to us, trust me, I am trustworthy. You can trust me. I can do this. I have done it already.
Absolutely.
So
I thought that that reference to 2 Timothy to me was powerful, where it says that he knows those, to me, that's the promise. You know, I mean, it's like that earnest of the Holy Spirit. He knows those that are his. Because I think that when we find ourselves in those really dry places, and certainly that has been my experience more than once, but where it just seems like you go from a place of zeal, a launch pad, where everything just seems to be, you know, you just on fire and just can't wait to put your hands on the word and want to call somebody and talk about something. Did you read, you know, whatever, to a point where it just seems like there is just no joy or excitement and no life in it. On a personal basis, obviously, we know the word is alive and well, but that he reminds us that he knows where we are. I think that's why these studies have been so fruitful for me, is that that when we find those places, because it does get, it sometimes it does seem laborious. Sometimes the work can be frustrating, you know, and not fun. But when we understand that we don't really have to do the work, and usually when it gets to the point where it's intolerable, you know, it's like, you know, the Lord will come in and say, okay, hey, it's intolerable because you're doing it in you. You know, you doing the work, and that's why you frustrated, you know, and those kinds of things, as opposed to and when we stop and say, Holy Spirit, show me, and there has never been a time when I've asked the Holy Spirit to reveal what is my part in this, what's going wrong, and what do I have to do with it, that, you know, like a panoramic movie theater, IMAX or something, like this and this, and when I told you to do that, and you didn't do this, and that, you know, I mean, and it's nothing that you can say but have a contrite heart, and he is so gracious that when we decide to get back up on the horse, so to speak, for a mixed metaphor, you know, he's right there with us. He's never left us, just saying, you know, you just got to do it my way. Otherwise, it is going to be, you know, it is going to be frustrating. But it's not always, that out of the gate kind of excitement that we get. But it becomes a deeper and a richer and a more broad and fulfilling kind of, or at least that's been my experience. In some ways, like when you see the ripple effects of maybe what God has done through us. You know, because it's never what we've done for God, but whatever it is that we allow the Spirit to work through us. When you see something, if somebody comes back and it's been a long time, you know, nothing to me is, I want to say funnier, but really more fulfilling than, you know, a kid or something that might come back from college or something and say, yeah, you know, yeah, I used to be paying attention now. You used to always say, it's like, really? You really heard that? You know, where I'm thinking, like, you know, these knucklehead boys and girls don't hear nothing, you know, I don't want to be bothered with them, they don't want to be bothered with me, you know. And somebody will come back and bless you with something that can be so simple, and it's like, Lord, thank you. You know, and that's where that scripture in Corinthians, where, you know, talks about one plants, one watereth, but it's the Lord that gives the increase, and we don't have to worry about, you know, we don't have to fret ourselves about evildoers, even though that's Psalms, but that same kind of thing, because we are going to be rewarded based on our labor. So it doesn't even, you know, there's no reason for me to have my nose out of joint about something that the Lord is blessing you for, that you're moving forward, and your gift is coming into fruition, and worried as though, you know, I'm being slighted or God, you know. It's like, okay, every man, my grandmother used to say, every tub has to stand on its own, you know, feet. So, you know, that it's individual. You know, there's a corporate piece, but God will nurture us and give us what we need individually as we trust, and like you just said, and as we rest in him. You know, the very first sentence when he talked about being what we think we have attained, the very couple sentences in this, which is sometimes where we come and we think we've done it, you know, we've attained it,
mm-hmm.
not realizing that we're just, that's just the tip of the iceberg,
yeah.
you know, and
yeah,
that he
yeah.
wants us to be, you know, have that solid foundation, hence these green letters
mm-hmm.
and you know, what he does
mm-hmm.
with that.
And that's interesting because, and I love the things like Blue Planet and things like that, and I just am amazed at what God has created in this earth realm. And they did a section on icebergs. And we always say, you know, the tip of the iceberg. And I don't know what I thought was underneath the tip, but they go down miles of solid ice. And so, because I often thought, he said, that had to be a big hunk of ice that the Titanic hit that sucked his ship. But this is like they are so ginormous. And so that saying is so much more powerful to me now because I've seen an iceberg underneath the water. And, you know, as the guy, the commentary is explaining how far down it goes and just thinking of, 2 miles of ice, you know, and I saw maybe 10 feet of it. So we really, and it just, the deeper it goes, it changes, it does all kind of things and whatever, and it does stuff to the water. And I mean, you know, he went through this whole thing, but it was just so amazing to me. And it's like those are all examples, you know, that we are given of God's creation and how it relates to us. And just like the author was saying, it's just a tiny portion of what we have in the beginning because the rest is vast, is infinite. And it has so much, its nature so changes because the tip of the iceberg is water, and you know, frozen water. And it's frozen water underneath. But the frozen water takes on all kinds of shapes. It gets these wave cavities in it. It's like sculptured out. And, I mean, it just becomes phenomenal. And so when we look at that as what we knew when we first believed and what we will know when God is called home, as he's matured us and as we've gone through the journey with him, it won't even compare. There's one scripture that I was reading, I think it was out of the Message Bible. It's like when you plant a tomato seed, what comes out doesn't look like that seed, but it is a tomato in that seed, you know. And yet what ends up doesn't look anything like what you planted, and yet what you planted was tomato, you know. And so, you know, that's the way almost paradoxically, as he was saying, I love that word. Man, say it good, I love it. That's the way our journey is going to be. Just a constant amazement at the awesomeness of God. So anybody else? We have new callers on the line?
Yes. Okay.
Welcome.
Hello?
Yes, we hear
Hello?
You.
Okay. Oh, okay. I just enjoyed this chapter. One thing I got from it was that I think Elvis mentioned it was a solid foundation of God's
mm-hmm.
truth, and you as well mentioned it, that his truth never changed, and his truth is never shaken, and it never fades. And when we follow God's truth, we will live God's way. And I like the fact that it was continuous, meaning it's a duration, how long until that we, even when we get fed up with it and want to just, it don't take all that, just, it takes that plus. And so just all these chapters, but this like summarized it up, and it was, like you said, it was like you had to read it all over again and you could continue to read it out loud because it was at the forefront of what I needed. So I just thank God for it. It was a very encouraging chapter.
Amen. Anybody else? You take your phone off mute, and we understand there's a 5-second delay, but we'll wait. Mm-hmm. Amen. We have Shiloh. So as we bring our green letters to a close, this is the last chapter in this part of the green letter presentation. It's I don't want to say sad. It's like, okay, you know, obviously there, there are actually about 40 more steps in different phases of our spiritual, there's a total of 71 four, five phases of spiritual growth and development, and we've only done phase one, principles of spiritual growth. There's part two, the foundation of spiritual growth, and then there's part three, the ground of spiritual growth. Part four, the realization of spiritual growth, and then part five, a guide to spiritual growth. And each one is broken up pretty much the way this one was, with topics topics that define or illustrate the different positions and places that Scripture has said is a part of our development. Just some of the chapters or steps include position, defined and illustrated, justification and assurance, reconciliation and acceptance, completeness and security, sanctification and consecration, identification and growth, sin and purged conscience, the history of Adam, the history of the first Adam and the second Adam, in-law, outlaw, the world and its prince, the process of conformation. And so it is really a very powerful series of these green letters. And then I love the part four is the step or part of reckoning, a whole section on what we reckon, what we depend on, what we base our living, our thinking, our actions, our resources on. And so it is a powerful tool that we could use, and we can come back to it. We can go forward in it. I believe at this time we all agreed, and I hope we did, or we can take a vote. You know, we're a fellowship of learning. We can do what we want to do. Okay. To look at total surrender by Apostle said that one is not her vote. Okay. Total surrender by Andrew Murray. I think it's not a long study. So it's a brief one that I think will give us an opportunity to exercise and to put into the practicum of what we've just done in step one, what we've gone through, what we've learned. And I think it's something that we would need to make constant reference to some of the steps that are in part one as we go through. Is it Total Surrender? What is the name of that book?
Over here, what's the author of that book?
It's Andrew Murray.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry.
The author.
Thanks.
Right. No problem. He's the one that did Abide in Christ.
Okay.
One of his series.
Uh-huh.
So it's not even a big book. It's a short, you know, short in height book. So it's not a, you know. Well, I think we can go through that relatively successfully in developing that which we've been exposed to in the green letter. So I believe that will be our next, unless a pastor said, unless I listen to her voice. Yeah, I was too. So do you know, Pastor, you have a suggestion? Oh, she'll do whatever we say. Isn't that nice? Okay.
Can you purchase
okay,
that off of Amazon?
Else?
Can you purchase that off of
I'm
Amazon?
Sorry?
Can you purchase that book off of Amazon?
Yes.
Yes, you can. Yes.
Okay.
Amazon, eBay. Yes.
Yep. Okay. I'm trying to find mine. Now I may have to go and buy it again. I don't know where my book is. Okay. But,
Overseer, are we starting that next Friday? Or are we
yes,
doing
ma'am.
Something on the interim around, I don't know, Passover, Resurrection Sunday, or are we going right into absolute surrender next week?
Well, that's a thought. That's a thought. And give people a chance to get it and read it, and then we could just bring a presentation as it relates to this season that we're in, the Passover and the 40 days and that sort of thing. So it's up to you guys. How many say yay? Looking at next week, the Passover, and, you know, oh, it's absolute surrender. That's what I'm doing. Yes. Hello?
Well, my vote would be we do something else next week because I can't find my book. So I can look for the book or either buy it. Because I know I have one. You know, I've read it, but I have to find it. So my vote would be to have something during the interim on next Friday, and then we start.
I agree.
What's that? Next Friday is
okay.
9th. And
okay.
So that we would
everybody
start on the 16th.
Right.
With the absolute surrender, give us this week to get a book. Well, really, that would be 2 weeks. So
you
I don't
can,
know if
yes.
you want to put
and
it
you
out.
Can, I don't know where everybody is located, but you can get it at Harvest very cheap. They're like 50% off. I mean, you know, I think they're like maybe $3 or something. So.
Oh, I'm in Alabama. We don't have that here.
Oh, okay. Yep. Nope. You can get your Absolute Surrender, How to Walk in Perfect Peace by Andrew Murray. All right. Absolutely.
Also, on Christian Book Distributors, it's one of their reduced kind of thing because it's been out so long. So it's usually same kind of thing, $3.49, something like that. If you go to CBD, ChristianBookDistributors.com, and they're really quick in the turnaround of mailing and stuff like that. They're very, very reasonable.
Thank you. Thank you, Ellen.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Pastor said, fine, she'll do it. You told me that my book. Yes, you did. Now we got to find mine. So mine got notes to it. What? Well, I believe this is Bishop on the line. I just want you to know that Pastor is willing to suffer for Christ by giving me her book so she don't have to do it. But that won't work. I'll find mine in this room somewhere. All right, then. Well, everyone,
yeah, I'm on
enjoy.
The line.
Pardon?
No, I said I'm on the line. You're right.
Oh, I know. I see you. God bless you, Pat Bishop. You want to pray us out? That would be so nice.
Sure, I would love to.
Thank you.
All right. God, once again, we thank you. And God, we bless you. We always acknowledge your presence, our Heavenly Father, all over this nation, as well as all over this world. God, you are an extremely awesome God. There is none like you. And we bless you for just being God, and we thank you and praise you for just allowing us to worship you and to enter your presence and to come boldly. We thank you for everything that you have put into place, Heavenly Father. We pray, O God, that the principles, O God, contained within the green letters will begin to enrich each and every listener's life, that it will become practical, that they'll be able to not only utilize it for themselves, but share it with others. God, continue to have your way, O God, over this internet radio program, O God. Thank you for the borders and the boundaries that it is touching, O God. Thank you that the work is not in vain, O God, and it is according to your schedule and your time. It is a time that is necessary, the time that is needed. And so, God, we love you. May everyone have a restful day on this World Day of Prayer, O God. May they continue to send the prayers within the atmosphere, O God, that will shift the very fabric of this world. And we thank you, God, and we love you. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 Amen. Honor the ministry of Holy Spirit. Amen and amen. Enjoy your day. See you.
All right.
See some of you in the first, and I'll talk to some of you tonight in person.
All right.
All right.
Oh, yeah. Let me get some sleep now.
Amen. Amen. Oh, dear. Let me hang up because you're online.